Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie. Does that leave me as Christine Marie?
Yes.
Well, that's me. I'm Christine Marie, and I'm the mom, and you're the daughter.
That's right. And we're your in-house life coaches, law of attraction coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm getting my master's, and I'm a former teacher.
I'm so proud of you that you're getting your master's. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, thanks.
I know it's not easy because you are juggling a lot of balls at the moment. Pardon the expression.
Yes, I'm juggling a lot of balls at the moment.
Wait a minute. I thought I had all the balls.
You do.
Isn't that what Dad just said this morning?
Yes, he said.
He said, if you look at Mom's purse, that's where my balls are.
That's right, for sure. And I went,
you're damn right.
I would think you'd have all the balls of everybody in the family. If I had balls, you'd have them too. Because if Mama not happy, no one's happy. And so when you have that belief system, like, we gotta make Mama happy, because if Mama ain't happy, no one's happy. Life goes well, right?
It kind of works, doesn't it?
You've always told me that no matter what your programming is, if you just keep it in there and keep working it, everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay.
When you keep changing your program, does things go awry.
Yes.
And who told you that? It was
Joseph Campbell.
Joseph Campbell.
That's right.
The great late Joseph Campbell.
Late. Is there another word that rhymes with great and late?
Fate. Mate.
Mate.
Good mate. He's a good mate. Joseph Campbell. I mean, he was... Was he the one that had the mobile?
No.
Okay, who is that guy? Because he was...
Oh, my gosh.
He was another PBS man. Yeah. You know, if you bought this... If you donated this on P... You'd get this.
Oh, I can't think of his name, but he was wonderful.
I remember that
he
a lot.
He was wonderful.
I think in the 70s or 80s.
80s, yeah.
So I remember him having a mobile and talking about how if somebody in that mobile is crazy... or does something, everything else, all the systems start to wobble.
That's right.
And that was pretty important.
Because you realize
that when you do have something in your system and one thing is wobbling, it's taken away, the rest of your life wobbles. And that's kind of the same thing that happens when one thing is going really, really great. It can affect in great ways the other parts of your life.
True.
And so in some ways, as a coach, if things are struggling in one area of a person's life, I said, what's really working for you right now?
Right. Let's work with that.
Let's plus the shit out of that. Because sometimes when you got something working well, and you plus that, it has a way of bleeding into every other aspect of your
100%
life.
100%, girlfriend.
And then if the other thing is, if something's going wrong in your life, it has a way of affecting everything else.
Yeah.
And so we like to focus on the good, drop the past, drop the thing. You said to me the other day, and you were laughing as you were saying this, because... It was a funny thought, and you've heard it before. He goes, you know, in airplanes, you don't have rear view mirrors because you only have to see in what's in front of you.
That's right.
And that's how life should be. And I'm like,
Thanks, Mama.
Yeah, but what's the point? The reason why you don't have a rear view mirror
on a jet
is because they can't go in reverse. They literally cannot go in reverse. So they're not like watching out for shit going in reverse, you know. I think fighter pilots, they may have something that is, you know, because they got to see what's coming behind
an injector seat.
Yeah.
Or ejector seat. an injector seat would hurt.
Yeah.
Oh. Whoops. I just got injected. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
So we're, you know, I don't know what we're talking about, but today we're going to talk about lots of fun stuff and in bad ways, because today I feel like burying my soul of deep disappointments and how we can choose to...
How fun is that?
Yeah, right. I want to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit, maybe.
Good.
We have
nothing is good like yesterday's news.
Oh, right.
Or yesterday's turkey.
And as you say, if it's been in the fridge for 2 days, it needs to get thrown away.
The rule of thumb is if it's still there by Monday morning...
It's
get rid
away.
Of it. Yeah.
So we're doing that today. We're going to have some fun. And just enjoy this time.
I'll try. I'll put my feet up. I'll have a cup of coffee.
That's what I want everyone to do.
I still
right
got
now.
My cold, but, you know.
Or as you're walking or doing your treadmill and you're listening to us and like, what are those crazy girls going to talk about today?
Yeah.
Deep disappointment.
No, the fun topic of deep disappointment.
Well, you know, because here's the deal. Because I love law of attraction. I believe in it. But I also know it doesn't take into consideration the mistakes that make that you have no control over. Or when you do, when you think you do everything right and shit still happens. Mm-hmm. And I was reading, we've been rereading Napoleon Hill. We've listened to our audio that we did on Think and Grow Rich by Wallace Wattles.
The Science of Getting Rich.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, you know, and you get to this point in the book of Think and Grow Rich, and it talks about your mastermind group, right, and coming up with a plan to have riches, because having money is a way needed to have a good life, or well, they, a solid life.
Yeah, these are old concepts, but the major philosophy is that life expands. That yes. In the Bible, the first thing was be fruitful and right. multiply, prosper, you know, take dominion over. Right. So the idea of Think and Grow Rich, or the Science of Getting Rich, is nothing new.
No.
You know?
And I would say, if you know, there are people out there who don't believe that. Like, I'll take the people from Alaska, you know, in some sense, how they're...
Oh, those people.
Yes.
Those Alaskans. Damn those Alaskans.
Oh, like the Alaskan bush people.
Oh, the bush people.
They had that family, you know, and the one girl, they're living in the middle of Alaska. They've gotten, quote-unquote, or they make everything. Now, I don't know how much money they're getting from the show. I don't know about that. And there's been lawsuits about them. Like, but I guess in Alaska, you get money every year from the state. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, thank you for picking Alaska to live in. Here's your $1,400. I don't know how much it is. I don't think it's a lot, but if you have 12 kids and each mm-hmm. one of your kids is bringing in $1,400 a year,
you want that money.
And you're living off the land, you know, I mm-hmm. guess that money can go pretty far.
Buy moose and squirrel.
Yes. And so one of the little girls had to go to the dentist because her teeth were hurting really bad.
No.
And so they didn't pay with money. They paid with salmon. And because they went fishing and they gave the dentist like 20 fish. And you're like, well, that's a currency. And the truth is, that's what money is. It's currency.
It's currency.
And so in there, their currency is salmon. And mm-hmm. guess what? To accumulate currency, they had to go and fish. And one of the guys, you know, they find a fish and they beat the crap out of it and it dies. You know, mm-hmm. that's the way he feels.
So it's a more humane way.
Yes. To punch the fish until it
knock
dies.
Knock you unconscious.
Instead of it just, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Breathing or yeah. drowning in
drowning
air.
Drowning in air. I don't know either.
And so, but anyway,
can I say something real quick, though? You know, you mentioned that we were listening to The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wells, but we are reading it. So yes. We're listening to us. And in that, I think someplace like in chapter 12 or something, you know, I'm reading that chapter, and Wallace mentions salmon.
No way.
No, but and guess what, though? I'm listening to myself read it, and I say
salmon.
I say salmon.
Salmon, yeah, salmon.
Oh my God!
I'm like I heard I, that. I'm like, what did Mom just say? Salmon.
I just said salmon. What? What? What the hell?
And I'm not editing that out.
No,
screw that.
I know, and I say about 10 times, and the salmon did this. I'm like, holy crap!
Who are you?
Who am I?
Who says salmon?
Who says salmon?
Yeah.
What the? Am I just sight reading it? I'm just like looking at
you're just
salmon.
Phonetically reading.
Yeah, I'm just phonetically reading it.
You're like not connecting with it whatsoever.
So I just wanted to say that because find that humor.
Well, and it's so because getting back to action. I mean, like
really,
yeah,
not the bush people.
Oh, the bush people because they had currency. What I'm right. saying is, people going, well, I don't believe money is everything. I don't believe it either, but I do believe that it would be nice to have more and then more and yeah. then more
right.
to do more stuff with.
Yeah.
There's things I want to do and that requires it. But like in the bush people, they needed money and they have to do other things to get their currency.
Right.
And so forth. And whether you barter or you work to get money, to pay, use money as your system of currency, mm-hmm. it's all the same stuff. Mm-hmm. It's about more life. And there's a story someplace. This was in Think and Grow Rich. Or was it in Wallace Wattles? I'm getting confused.
Tell me the story.
It's the idea that, and if you don't have anything but a small plot of land,
right.
I can tell you how to get rich right now.
Right.
And
that's Wallace Wattles.
Okay. And he talks about this idea that you know, he grew one plot of land and kept it going, but he kept saving the seed because each plant would produce a lot more seed. Mm-hmm. And then with that, he could buy, every year he bought a little more land, mm-hmm. kept growing, having more seed. Mm-hmm. And before he knew it, he had 1,000 acres.
Right.
Now, I don't know with Monsanto now if farmers are allowed to use their own seed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't either.
So you may have to be an organic gardener to
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
But it was... You can when you start off small and mm-hmm. you do that.
But it's the principle of the thing.
It's the principle. But in Think and Grow Rich, there's a part of the book where it talks about the plan and making the plan. And when the plan fails, you just get another plan going.
Right.
And eventually the one plan will take.
Right.
No matter how long it takes, as long as you're on the path of thinking and growing rich. Mm-hmm. And it's never a failure unless you stop.
And isn't it nice that they, you know, because I think we have such a shame core, you know,
100%.
That, you know, I don't think of it as the plan failing. I go, oh, I failed, you know.
I think if I was going to tell you one thing about President-elect Trump, I think the idea that he's had failed businesses and doesn't call them failures, I think has helped people not feel so bad about their mm-hmm. failed businesses.
Yeah.
Because I know that people struggle and take it really personally.
Yeah.
When they,
yes.
And I remember you said previously, this is years ago, talking about Hillary Clinton, and where she said, listen, I can't help it if small businesses are not capitalized enough. I mean, capitalization sometimes is the only reason why businesses make it till they're making money.
Yeah. I mean, think about Amazon. They knew
4 or 5 years they didn't make any money in the beginning.
They knew that there was at least a 4 or 5 year plan that they were not to make any money.
Exactly.
And now they have their own planes.
Oh, come on. I didn't even know that until I saw it. I'm like, what? Prime Air with a little smiley face on the tail? That's
so
awesome.
Great.
That smiley face is totally Amazon. Mm-hmm. And Prime is totally Amazon. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just own those. I mean, and it started off by selling books. That's all they did was sell books. Mm-hmm. And initially they lost money after money after money, but that was part of their business plan.
That was part, they understood that.
And what did they become successful at? Distribution. I mean, you said it the other day.
I did say this.
The only reason why I shop online at Amazon is because they tell me I can get it in 2 days.
That's the only reason, because one of the things that I dislike about ordering online, or used to.
Right.
You know, or even
now
shopping.
You get used to it.
Or shopping catalogs, is that it would take 2 or 3 weeks to get your order.
And by that time, the event's over.
Yeah.
And what if it comes in wrong?
Yeah.
And you have to overbuy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Now it's like, you know. I order it and I get it the next day.
And this is an evolution. This is an evolution.
And that's so smart.
It is so smart. But so Think and Grow Rich and then The Science of Getting Rich. I mean, both those things talk really heavily about your plan of attack, your action. And Wallace talks about you need to do the action of the day and complete it.
Yes.
And that's when you will know you had a successful day.
Yeah, he says just do the action of the day.
And
not tomorrow's action.
And they talk about that in the Bible as well, you know, where do not take on the worries of tomorrow, for the day has the worries enough.
No,
you know, just deal with today. Tomorrow will deal with tomorrow and so forth.
Right.
But if you go to bed going, I dealt with the day successfully, the best I could.
Right. You had a successful day.
I had a successful day.
Yeah.
And we need to get into thinking that more and
right.
more. And, the other day, it was so cute. We've got some big things on our to-do list and mm-hmm. some major plans the next 12 to 18, 24 months. And it was so cute because you were at this place where you were just feeling desperate. And you were just like, and you're kind of crying a little bit. Just like, oh, I go, girlfriend, the only reason why you feel like this is that you are literally trying to bite off the whole elephant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
That's right.
You can't eat the whole elephant at one bite.
Yes, you've got a big plan.
You just got to, what's today's worry? And sometimes you need somebody to say, hey, you are taking on your whole year's problem, your whole decade's problem.
Right.
You know, if your kids are 5 years old and you don't know how they're going to go to college, listen, snap out of it. If that's your biggest worry, snap out of it. Put $5 a week away.
Mm-hmm.
And things will have, and what you do know is things will have changed by then anyway.
Get a good junior college.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You found a scholarship for me. That's how I went for free.
That's right.
You're like, hey, Julie, I found this opportunity. You can go to free locally. I'm like, I am there.
Amen, Mama.
Amen, hallelujah. I can do that. That's something I'm like, I do. Why not? So it is about just dealing with the problem at hand, not borrowing problems from the future, mm-hmm. and also not borrowing problems from the past. But I do think, talking about disappointments a little mm-hmm. bit, and when you talk about law of attraction and in this quote-unquote The Secret, the one thing people were so upset about is that it never took into consideration when you failed. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're like, I know I'm not in alignment with me failing. Right. I don't know why this is happening.
Right.
And then the blame, and then law of attraction guilt, mm-hmm. all this stuff is going on. And like, why did I do this? Why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. How come this didn't work out? And none of those questions are worth anything.
No, those are the wrong questions.
They're the wrong questions. How do I get back my mojo? How do I get back on the path?
Those are better questions.
Those are at least expanding questions.
Yeah.
What could I have done differently to get better results next time?
Right.
And I remember.
And I love that, because what you just said is, what can I do differently to get better results?
Right.
Because most people, and I've heard you talk to, you know, even Doug, and you'll say something, I don't know what his side of the conversation is, but you'll say, okay, let me ask you this. What are the results you're looking for?
Right.
And I hear that. I get it.
Right.
I'm sure he doesn't. Like, he's just trying to tell you what he wants. But you're saying, tell me right now, dig deep, what are the results you're looking for?
That's has been my life-changing idea.
Isn't it true? Yeah. That's a totally different concept than, oh, I didn't get what I want, or what do I want? No. Not even what you want. What's the result that you're looking for? Because then we can get a plan going.
Well, exactly. Now, here's one of the ideas for the results. That's our new phrase now. What's the result you want? Mm-hmm. What's the easiest way to get that result? Mm-hmm. What's the most efficient way? Mm-hmm. We're having carpeting put in on Monday. Mm-hmm. And we've already had the upstairs done. And we're contemplating possibly selling our house in the spring and building another house. And so when we put stuff back, we're like, it's getting back to be staged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Now we're getting carpeting in your room. Mm-hmm. And so we're having to clear this room out.
Oh my God.
And it's been so funny, because a week ago, I'm like, let's go through your closet. And about a half hour later, I'm saying, no.
No.
I thought, what's the result I want?
I want to get this done.
I want this bottom clean. Yeah. So,
because all they got to do, we got to have everything off this bed. And our bedroom is not small. It's
It's a tiny house.
Is it like 20?
It's a completely, it's bigger than most tiny houses.
Yeah, it's a big tiny house, our bedroom
yes.
is.
Yes, it is. It's a nice size tiny home.
Yeah.
You know, we contemplate that all the time. Like, well, we could live in Mom and Dad's bedroom. This is a big size bedroom. You know.
If the apocalypse came, we could have the zombies live in the
other part
of the house.
If we had to share our house with zombies, they could have the whole house, and
we'll just take this.
The ensuite.
Yes.
the master bedroom.
You could have the walk-in closet.
Yeah, of course I could. It's a big walk-in closet. but today, this morning, I said, Dad, we got to get this done. They're coming Monday. We got to take care of it. And I said, we have one goal. I'm giving us an hour, and that's to clean this floor off. And that was our goal. And then you said to me, goes, I am not putting all that crap back in this closet, because we're staging it. And I said, that's our other result then.
Yeah.
But that's not the result for today.
No. I said, is there a room in the storage unit for all this crap?
It will be.
Yeah.
Or either we'll give it rid of it.
Yeah.
And sell it. I don't know.
But how do you accumulate all this crap? How does one do this? We've been here 15 years.
Well, because we didn't get rid of it all the way when you moved.
That's
first.
True. We still got crap from 40 years ago.
And there's some crap that you just don't want to get rid of. And you're like, well, this has got some value. I don't know. But if you thought to yourself, I remember last year, well, in March, I came back from San Diego. I had a conference there, thinking to myself, I want to live in San Diego. This is the most beautiful place in the whole wide world. It is typically 60 degrees all day long.
And you've convinced me to live there.
Yes.
I want to live there too.
And I found out there was this campground that you can live month to month and on the ocean. And so I thought, oh my gosh, this would be awesome. Now, the plan has changed a little bit here and there. We're not going to make it this winter, I don't think, but possibly next winter. But how do you get to that level of living with little stuff mm-hmm. and not accumulating?
Right.
And so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's really true. How do you, because it is, I mean, we're not the kind of people that can just go, we would have to do some carving out of crap.
Oh, yes.
To get to where we want to go.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we have a storage unit, and I remember we had this in the last 6 months.
Right.
I think 4 months, really.
I don't really know, but
maybe
yeah.
Six. Yeah. And I was initially against it, and then I said, our result is to get our house staged for selling.
Moving to San Diego.
Yeah, selling and moving to San Diego. Yeah. What is the fastest way to do that? Because it was taking us forever to decide, do we keep this? Do we sell it?
Oh, my God, I know.
And I said, screw it.
Norm wants to keep everything.
I said, screw it. Everything goes in the storage unit.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to deal with it too much, and that's okay.
Right.
Because what's our bigger goal? We need to get this house staged to sell.
Right.
Or to move or whatever. And then a year from now, truly everything in the storage unit will have zero value to us because it won't be in our – and it'll be easier to get rid of.
Right.
It's funny. One of the things we do clear in the clutter Saturdays, and we're actually going to have one coming up in December.
In December, yeah.
And it's interesting because when we do that, it's 3 hours, and we meet at the top of the every hour on a webinar, and we do a little emotional clearing, and then we say, get to work, clear some clutter out of your life. And then we meet at the beginning of every hour for 3 hours, and then it's a fun time for
us.
It's
fun. And the people come back and go, I can't believe what I just found.
Yeah, exactly.
I was cleaning out this closet I haven't cleaned out in 20 years.
I know. I can't believe I found this.
Found this.
Can I say what we found in your closet today?
Yes.
Oh, my God. We found $450 in your closet. I was like, and you know what? For literally a half a beat, I thought to myself, can I keep this money? Finders keepers?
If I don't say anything, can I just keep it?
They will not know I have this money.
Yeah.
No, for just a brief bump.
And then, I gave it to you anyway, Julie.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Because when you're gone, all this is mine.
All this beauty is yours, honey.
But that was a joy. That was totally awesome.
I know.
And you go, well, where was $400 in your closet at? Well, it was in the safe.
Which was buried.
That was a logical place for it.
Which was buried underneath a lot of crap.
But I think you really felt there was nothing else in there.
I didn't.
Yeah. You had moved it into investments or whatever, or paid for something. Who knows?
I think I took whatever was in there. Do you remember like the 2 or 3 years ago when the law came in that you couldn't talk on your cell phone? And it was like the first day when you were driving, I mean.
Oh, right. Okay.
And Norm got a ticket and was like $2,000 or something.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think I, took it out of that
right
to get there. I didn't think there was anything left in there.
Right. That's a complete exaggeration.
Is it really?
Yes.
All right.
I think so.
I mean, that there was a law, right? That
yes,
you can't talk on your cell
100%.
Phone. 100%. And Norm did get a ticket like the very first day that
but that was in his car, not.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't 600.
No, it was like 2,000.
It wasn't 2,000.
It wasn't?
No.
It was like a huge amount.
I don't know really what happened.
Mm.
I think, I don't know. It could be.
I mean, I could be missing the whole thing.
I don't know. Now I don't know. But I'm going to say it's right. I think really, though, we had to bond him out of prison.
for doing Which we have done in the past.
Many times before.
Many times.
So that money has been spent many times over to get that man out of jail.
Gosh, he just goes to jail for everything.
And you know what? He's never convicted of anything.
No.
He just looks guilty.
He does.
He just can't. He just looks guilty, and that's just how it is.
I remember one time he had to take a lie detector test, and he goes, Chrissy, what am I going to do? Because I feel guilty all the time.
Right.
So I never pass lie detector tests. And so in my great wisdom, I suggested
in your great wisdom,
yes,
oh, good.
I suggested that he put thumbtacks in his shoes. And any time that they asked a question, he would press down on the thumbtacks and cause himself great pain. And after he took the test, the guy said, well, I think it was for some kind of job. He goes, well, he didn't get the job. But the guy said, you're either a rapist, a serial killer, or a murderer. And get out of here.
And get out of here now.
Get out of here. You scare me.
Like, good job, Christine.
Damn, my evil plan did not work again.
Well, I love the fact that we think we can be a lie detector test by just putting thumbtacks in our feet. You know, like, I think if that was really the case,
somebody would have done that a long time ago.
Yeah. That's, you guys are just too hippie-ish. You're like, ah, oh, no. And then, like, who does lie detector tests to get a job now? That's crazy.
This was like in the 80s.
I know. When that was like the thing.
Yeah. Like, putting thumbtacks in your toes.
Just look at your Google page. I'm like, oh, we see that he's done this now. So, you know.
And do you remember that? No. And then Norm was on the radio talking about that one time. And he was saying, and then I put thumbtacks in, and the guys, the DJ or whatever, thought, oh, this guy's weird.
Yeah.
And they like couldn't wait to hang up fast enough.
I know. And I happened to be listening to the same channel.
You happened to be listening.
And I wanted to call up and say, can I please just say that my father should not tell that story anymore? It is not a good story. And he's not a weirdo.
So you just happened to be listening on when you were driving and you heard Norm on the.
I did. And I did the little like.
Hit your hand to
please,
the head.
Father. I know you're thinking this is a good story.
It's like the Home Alone thing. Like, whoa.
What? Like, stop talking. Stop talking, please.
It just fell flat, didn't it?
I did.
Yeah.
And so, because he really wanted somebody to go, didn't you cheat on the lie detector test, too?
Yeah. You know what I mean, right? When you do that thing on the lie detector test.
Well, it's so funny you're bringing up lie detector tests, because literally I had this thought today about if I would feel guilty on a lie detector test, and if they said, have you ever cheated on anything? And I'm like, you know I haven't, but maybe I have and not realize it. Nothing intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, like the time I went to class for you, is that cheating the government? The time I took statistics for you, Mom, as you were getting your master's degree. You didn't need statistics to be a psychotherapist, but yeah, I take the test. I was able to take it for you. Was that cheating?
Is that cheating? Is that bad?
Is that bad? And would that come up on the lie detector test?
And I remember then when you were going to get a B in the course.
Oh, yes.
And then I said, I made you go back and talk to the teacher.
I got that.
And finally
for
the teacher goes, please, Christine, what do you want?
Yeah.
And you said, I need an A.
Well, the teacher didn't realize I had just read The Art of the Deal. And I was like, not going to leave that phone call without getting what I wanted. And you just never leave. I go, I'm not going to leave here until I get that A. What do you want, Christine? I want an A. And you're like, oh, that's right. I'm Christine, right?
Done.
Thank you. And I came home. I said, I got you your A, and now you still have a 4.0 average.
That's right.
You only would have had like a 3.8. There had been some consequence for not taking that statistic test.
I think they made me student of the year or something like that.
I'm sure they did. They loved you.
Thank you.
Everybody loved you. Yep, and they led to me. And so forth.
So we're going to talk about...
Well, more disappointments, because I think that's where people are at. And I want to say, guess what? Disappointments are happening all the time, and you're going to be okay.
Oh, really?
Yes, you're going to be okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach Julie.
Get on that plan. Do something different. Shake things up and get back on. And sometimes plans work for a while, and then things change. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll bring up Doug and his business. He's had to reiterate his business several times because – things are changing, you know.
Reiterate?
Oh, reinvent?
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe reinvent.
Oh, like an iteration?
I mean,
maybe that's not a bad... See, reiterate would mean to repeat, but an iteration, a reiteration of something...
Right.
That's actually quite cool, Joel.
Okay. He's reiterationing it.
Yeah, I kind of dig that.
And because his business is changing. You know, the market for sports nutrition is not as there as it once was. Amazon.
Well, I remember when we had our sports nutrition, really within a year's time, all the top products that were our biggest sellers and also our biggest profit makers, the FDA had taken them off the market. And literally we were left selling vitamin C, you know.
And protein. And then everything became, everybody was selling the same stuff.
Yeah.
And you can buy it online and everything. And it just was harder and harder. And I remember doing stuff during this time before I had to close the stores down because it literally had taken everything. And I just kept thinking, I can law of attraction this. I see my store having tons and tons of customers. I see both stores being successful. I'm in alignment with this. I am energetically in alignment with having successful businesses. I am, they will come to me. I will do my stuff. I will buy advertisement. And then I'm like, I have run out of money. I can't pay the rent. How am I going to do this?
You had your manager was running daycare out of the store.
Oh, that's horrible. And then I just like, oh my gosh. And I remember one thing I was doing to drum up business, because sometimes I feel like, what's my clientele I need to get? I'm like, okay, the muscle guys. And where are they at? They're at the gyms, but they're also at the strip clubs.
And well, they do those. I remember this because they do the MMAs.
The mixed MMAs martial had arts. had gotten involved in this one strip club.
Yeah.
And that's what I was supporting.
You were supporting the strip club.
I was supporting the MMAs. And I thought, these guys really would use my supplements. Yeah. Mostly they just want me to give them free shit.
They wanted free shirts.
And free supplements, free shirt, and all this stuff. So all of a sudden, I am literally supporting this amateur MMA fight night once a month that happens to be at a strip club.
Right.
Which is fine.
And the strip club is still a strip club.
Yeah.
It's still going on.
It's in a different section. But
a little bit different.
And it's a big thing.
It's like 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm waiting out in the parking lot for Julie. And she's going in the strip club.
Embellishment. You were not waiting.
It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. You were not waiting there for me.
What was I doing there?
I don't think you were there.
I have this vivid memory of waiting for you in the parking lot.
You were, okay, maybe.
I don't know.
I have no visual memory.
Maybe I just was thinking I was there.
Yeah, I think but spiritually, energetically, you were there with me in spirit.
Yeah, I know the strip club.
Yeah.
I know that the MMAs are there. They're wearing our t-shirts at night.
Yes, the girls, the ring girls that hold the number of the... What do you call it?
The round number?
Round number. They were wearing our
Power Barn t-shirts. Yes,
which was awesome, I thought. Yeah. You know, the stripper girls were wearing that. And then it was so funny. I remember being with a couple of my employees. They were chiropractic. They went to the chiropractic school. And, you know, we got free tickets because we were supporting them. And I was noticing the girls had our shirt on. And then this little helper...
He's a little Mexican dude.
He was one of the helpers for the girls.
Yeah.
Would tweak their nipples.
That was his job.
That was his job. He was a fluffer.
Yeah.
You know?
He was a tweaker.
He was a tweaker.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, I think she could have done that herself. She could have tweaked her own boobs.
At that point, did you go, am I desperate? What am I doing here?
That's my thought.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I got some little Mexican guy who was a patron of our store tweaking the stripper's nipples
and I'm
wearing our Power Barn shirts.
Every dollar that comes in, I am giving it to everybody else.
Yeah.
And then I'm driving home going, this is effing nuts.
Yeah.
And being completely disappointed.
Really?
Like, I'm disappointed myself because, I mean, no problem with stripping. It's just that I just didn't feel, that wouldn't have been me to be there.
No.
On a Friday night supporting MMA, which is, I like MMA too, but, you know.
Tap out. Tap out, girlfriend. Tap out.
I'm just like, this is, what am I doing here?
How did I find this?
Yeah. You know. And
you're like, you're applauding the strippers.
Yeah, like, you go, girl.
You love your nipples.
Yeah.
I love the way that one with the P in the Power Barn and the B in the barn.
You know, I just go, what am I doing? And for what real benefit do I have for myself? I mean, literally.
Yeah.
None. And I remember within like a week, I was listening to an Abraham Hicks tape. And this guy was just talking, you know, Abraham Hicks, if anybody knows who she is, because in the beginning we would hear this name, Abraham Hicks.
We had no idea.
Who's this sage, right?
Right.
And then Googling it and I'm like, what?
A non-physical entity.
Channeled by, oh my God. Hicks? Something, I want to say Evelyn, but it's not Evelyn Hicks.
Not Marilyn, is
no.
it?
No. I don't know who it is. I can't think of it now.
Oh my God.
I can't.
Jerry and...
Evelyn, no.
Jerry and something.
Oh, my God. That's weird.
Yeah.
Something like
oh
that.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I know. But anyway, I call her Abraham Hicks because she's the one that channels these non-physical entities. And her CDs or her tapes, which is genius, is just her taking fielding questions and then the non-physical entity answering them. Love it.
Abraham comes through.
Yep.
I love that. Because yeah, it's hey, me said it.
It's not me. It's not a physical entity that I call Abraham.
That's right.
That's a group of them. Mm-hmm. I love. Have you ever? I've been to her one of her conferences in Chicago, and it was awesome because you walk in, And then she's on stage, says hi to everybody, and then she goes, bye. And then she taps out as the physical entities come in and taps in. And it's all about energy and about feeling better and working things out.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to one of her tapes, really trying to law of attraction the hell out of my businesses. You know?
I want to be a tweaker.
And then all of a sudden she said, sometimes the energy it takes to make something successful is not worth it.
Right.
Yay! Oh, thank you, God.
Amen. I found thank you, 7.5-pound baby Jesus.
Yes, thank you. You know, and
finally.
Right.
It's just not worth it, people.
And Kim just being the energy needed is just too much, and it's just not worth it. I'm like, that is something I can grab my head around because I'm drowning here.
Did it hurt to grab your head around something?
Yeah. my head is pretty big and long. And think of my head as Mr. Rubber. Remember those little, Rubber Man?
Stretch Armstrong?
Stretch Armstrong. That's it. I guess not Rubber Man. That's something different.
Oops. That's something you find in a men's restroom.
Well, that's what you told me every guy must have, a little Rubber Man. Make sure. If they're worth their weight in gold.
Or about 7 pounds.
Exactly. But so that was really helpful. But I realized during that time, during these deep disappointments, that
there's still fun in there. You can still go to a strip club.
But you end up having to really challenge your belief systems.
Yeah.
Your belief systems get challenged over and over again, and you need to grab onto something that says, hey, oh, wait a minute. Like thinking Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. When they say, hey, shit happens. Mm-hmm. Change your plan. Keep changing it until it works. Mm-hmm. Boom. Now, previously, it talked about being in alignment, having complete faith, knowing it's going to work out, and it will work out. Same thing as the signs of getting rich. It's about having this strong faith. Same thing about Christianity, and so, if you depending on the which preachers you listen to, it's about having this strong faith, never giving up. And then when you match it with, well, you never go in debt, and you tithe, and you save, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, over 10 years, all those things are pretty magnificent. John Templeton.
Sir John Templeton. Girl, you just came to you.
Yes, because I was thinking about Sir John Templeton just now.
Oh, my
because
gosh.
He was a tither.
Yes.
And he said, he was being interviewed by Tony Robbins. He's now since passed. Huge investment banker, billionaire.
Yeah, but a great guy.
And he believed in tithing.
Really humble.
And a lot of religious people and just spiritual people believe in tithing. Mm-hmm. They believe your first fruits go to expanding the world and not to you. If you believe in that philosophy, and then
because
it does
come back.
Because
they're not yours to begin with.
Right, and it does come back to
right,
you.
Right.
And Sir John Templeton said, if you tithe for 10 years, I promise that for 10 years, your life will not look the same. And Tony Robbins would say, then after you tithe 10%, you take that next 10% and you invest that week in, week out, day in and day out, the next that after 10 years, it wouldn't look the same either. Mm-hmm. And then you would go to somebody who's had like, oh my God, I've had nothing but disasters lately. To give you 20% of my money for nothing, can I survive on, after the government takes their other 30-40%, can I survive on 40% of my money? You know? So, but the one thing Sir John Templeton said too in this video, which I liked, this interview, he said when he first got married, he said if him and his wife decided that they were going to save half their money, they didn't care what it looked like, if they had to live in a tiny house and only have, you know, didn't have nothing. And he says while his peers were in country clubs because he had a good job, and while his peers were doing other things, expensive things, him and his wife were quite frugal and lived on half their salary. And within a short amount of time, he was able to buy his first property because he knew that if he was going to be wealthy, he'd have to have the assets to make that when an opportunity came to him to buy into the opportunity. And you couldn't do that without leverage.
Right.
So he knew from day one he'd have to
live. Leverage.
Yeah, like James or Dave Ramsey says, you know, live like no one wants to now so you can live like no other one, you know, can in the future or whatever he says. Something like that.
I get it. Yeah.
But I was realizing though during this time when I'm got my businesses and nothing's working out, it was nice to have this idea that, hey, maybe law of attraction is real still. It's still in alignment. Mm-hmm. It just would require so much more energy. It's not worth it to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is not your ideal place of work, mm-hmm. which it wasn't. It was an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. I did, and I have to say
you're
this.
You're so right, because yeah. see, we like Sir John, excuse me, not Sir John, but Wallace Wattles.
Yeah.
And even Napoleon Hill, they're telling you, look at, I didn't invent the laws.
No.
You know, and the laws are there. You have to get a greater and greater understanding yes. of them. And that's the problem. Like you said, the law wasn't working because it wasn't who you were.
Right.
You know.
Right. I'd started the business out of desperation.
Right.
Because I knew somebody.
You started out of lack.
I started out of lack thinking like, well, I need to start a business, right? And this guy's making it, supposedly. and not really investigating it enough. Going in with that, you know, and now I wouldn't do that. And also, too, there were things that were working in our lives that I wasn't plussing. It was, sometimes you got to embrace the things that are working. A lot of times, some things are working. How do you plus it? How do you make it work better? Mm-hmm. It is, I'll just take a little side note.
That's really true, Jules.
Since rereading again, Think and Grow Rich, you know, one thing it says in there, it says, read this chapter 25 times until you really learn it, and then mm-hmm. read it again and mm-hmm. keep reading it. Auto-suggestion, you know, hypnosis,
right,
all
right.
these things that reprogram your mind
right.
because our minds are being reprogrammed all day long
no matter what. So we might as well take charge of that.
100%. I think the same thing with Wallace Wattles. It talks
yes.
about in there.
Oh, he does.
Do not listen to people who are disagreeing with this information
right.
until you have mastered this information.
Right, until you can say, whatever.
I remember David Nagel. I took a coaching thing from him one time. He said, do this until you've reached its natural conclusion. Don't stop short. So many times, I don't know what we were reading someplace, mm-hmm. we stop short of its natural end or conclusion. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't know about that. Sometimes I think we know things are ending, and if we would stop it just a little earlier, you'd have a better ending, you know, mm-hmm. instead of until its natural conclusion mm-hmm. or whatever. But I don't know what I was going to say.
About David Nagel?
Yeah, I think that was it. But I wanted to say this, well, anyway, talking about disappointments and so forth. So I know that we all have it and that we can move beyond. So as we're concluding this year and we're getting close to not just setting new resolutions, but really looking at the past in the light that it deserves. Like, okay, what has improved this year? What qualities have improved this year? Mm-hmm. What have I not put attention to that deserves attention in my mm-hmm. life? What have I kept my you know, my head in the sand with? Mm-hmm. Sometimes having your head in the sand's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And then put a story to it and then conclude the past and get going on the next avenue of mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. What do you got to do to make it better? And that's where we're at. Because wouldn't it be lovely to know that we're all going to live to be 90? And if we're going to be able to be 90... what does that mean for our lives? You know, we've got some time here to plan these things out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Recently, I heard Tony Robbins say, we overestimate what we can do in a year, and we underestimate what we can do in a decade. And so
yeah.
I think when we fail in that first year or in a year, like, well, this didn't happen this year, we then put the brakes on. But if we just took a little bit of like, okay, well, I hit this milestone. If I continue hitting these milestones, what will this look like in a decade? Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So I say today, whatever disappointments you've had, claim it as a learning experience. What did you learn from it? Pull out. Take the time to write all the things you've learned from these disappointments. You have learned stuff. I know I learned stuff.
Yeah.
I learned what I didn't want in some aspects. I learned that I did things out of desperation that were not in my, I don't want to say moral compass, but just wasn't who I was. Mm-hmm. And I broke rules all the time that I had laid out for myself. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot, though. I learned that people are cool. Everybody's sweet. You know, I learned that everybody's kind of, people are nice, genuinely mm-hmm. nice overall. And all that stuff didn't matter anything. I still couldn't keep my business going. Mm-hmm. And I had to come to a place of like letting that go. And then what's the new 2.0 or 0.2 Julie, you know, or whatever. And moving forward with that, and what can I get my alignment going along with that? Mm-hmm. and so forth.
Digging deeper as to who you are, as to who you can be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can all be, you know, different things.
Right.
But the universe calls us to be who we're supposed to be.
This morning, I cannot think of the name of this. They're called, I think, miracle ships, or health ships. I don't know. There's these ships.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah. That go to different and heal kids.
Uh-huh. And they go to typically any different countries.
Yeah.
And they're just ships. They stay off in the ocean. People come.
Yeah.
They go get medical care. And they're all done by volunteers.
Right.
All done by volunteers. And so you go, there's a bigger world out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we're hit with these disappointments, they knock us on our ass way too long.
Yeah.
Get up. Do something different. Still enjoy life. We've got a beautiful planet here for as long as we can until we destroy it.
Global warming.
Carbon watching.
Footprint.
Yeah. I'm going to change topics a little bit.
No reefs.
Do you want to share one of your disappointments? Because I know a couple months ago you were saying something like, we were doing something new or doing something. You said, I just don't know if I'm up for another disappointment. I think that's an interesting idea, too, about disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we've had too many in a row, then we just get too gung-shy. Like, I don't know if I'm open to another disappointment.
Was it about our business?
I don't know about that.
Oh.
But I'm just saying, in general,
mm-hmm.
it might have been something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking to myself, that's where a lot of people are at sometimes. They mm-hmm. just go, I've had one or two or three more disappointments than I really can handle,
mm-hmm.
and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's in the past, it has to be in the past. And I can tell you that you've had just as many successes, if not more, mm-hmm. than disappointments. But those successes just don't have the emotional juice to them mm-hmm. as our failures or our disappointments. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I know. For me, it's like I have to gear up mentally to, you know, to get to the place where, hey, you know, let's rah, rah, maybe we'll do this again and it'll be, you know, you hold it out there, when I have to really just pick myself up off the floor and went, oh, man, how did that, you know, that happen again? And
right.
I'm really just talking about, like, our business. Like, we, you know, we have these goals that we want, and I somehow just watch those goals, hey, that's gone. That day passed.
Well, there's a point where you have SMART goals and you have a time frame in there. And Edwin Gaines talks about it. And if you break your time frame, just give yourself more time.
Right.
I get that.
Duh.
But if that happens too often, it just becomes painful.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
At least it does for me, at least.
But I want to say this because we're going to have some fun stuff coming in the beginning of the year. And I want our lovelies at this moment to really think about how to put the past to the bed, how to evaluate it in such a way, how to create a story in such a way that you go, okay, this is what I've learned. And it no longer has this emotional pull. You're not continually looking to the past because it's pulling you back. You're more looking to the present and the future. What was that saying that you love so much?
Let the pain push you until the vision can pull you.
That's one of them. And the other one is something about every moment lived well is a...
Oh, yeah. Yesterday is already a dream.
Yes.
And tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Is that the one?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
On Tim Ferriss's Five Bullet Fridays, he has a quote that he's pondering. And I would like to quote that. That would be a quote I want to ponder.
Which is?
The one you just said.
Oh, that one. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yesterday is just a dream. Tomorrow is just a vision. But every day well lived, just today mm-hmm. well lived, makes every yesterday a vision of
happiness.
A dream of happiness. And every tomorrow a vision of
hope.
And
that's exactly what Wallace says about taking each day and making it successful. Doing for the tasks of that day and nothing more.
Yes.
Nothing more. And knowing that then you go to bed, and I had a successful day.
Yes.
And then you said, I have a dream of happiness and a vision of hope then, because I
did what I need to do today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can trust then that what I need to do tomorrow, I will do.
Because we do know that our to-do lists never really end.
Especially if you're a woman.
Oh, for sure. Plus, especially if you own a house, own a business, there's always one more thing you could do. But if you could say, this was my day to do this, mm-hmm. and I got this done and it was successful, mm-hmm. and so forth. So, girlfriend, we got about 5 minutes left for the show.
Really?
Yeah. I just want to say we didn't do Elliot's Corner, and I'm not going to, you know, we didn't do our pillar talk, but I think it's Phil a Day this whole show was a pillar talk.
Yes.
Where we're focusing on
this
the
was
pillars.
Our, just our, yes. Well, this is our Thanksgiving show.
I am thankful for you. I am thankful to the lovelies out there, and I want to share something to that with them. We had a, if you're not part of our list, we had a, we had a special going on that I'm going to just give only to people who've listened to this podcast. And I want you to go to ChristineMarieAndJulie.com/offer, O-F-F-E-R, offer, and ChristineMarieAndJulie.com/offer. You go there. We've got a special going on right now that is pretty intense. It is, you get your miracle, your, create your money miracle. It's 5 audios.
5 hours.
For $49. And with that, you also get some visualizations as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're also throwing in there
is bonuses.
Bonuses. Wallace Waddles audio of us talking, reading Wallace Waddles, The Science of Getting Rich.
Yeah.
Awesome bonus. And then finally, well, 2 more bonuses. Actually, we've created these 2 videos where it's
The 7 A's,
how to get what you want without breaking a sweat. And it really talks about this, these deep principles on how to break through the past, break through, get on the thing, get on your path, and how to do it in a way where the energy is not so heavy. Because there is just a mind shift that occurs to living in a sense of victory.
And really, that's why we call it your money miracle.
Yeah.
Because a miracle really is just a shift in perception.
And we're also going to give away at this moment, as including another bonus, it's just a 20-minute, for the first 10, because I don't think we can do more than that, for the first 10 people who purchase this product, a 20-minute coaching session to really, if you have some questions about the information, to go a little bit different, deeper with the information and so forth. So just kind of a Christmas bonus. And go to ChristineMarieAndJulie.com/offer. This is
and
only
really,
for people who've listened to our
and
podcast.
And really, this all this stuff would be over like $497.
Huge amount.
Individually.
Yes.
And you're just charging...
Well, $49 because we're like everybody else. We're like, this is a time of year we're just going to slash and burn. Woohoo!
All right.
Also, I just feel like giving something away that's worth a lot more than people are paying for.
Yes.
And I want to get to know people. So that's the thing.
And I want to thank you, Julie.
So tell
that
me.
You're my Thanksgiving.
Oh, I appreciate that. I feel sometimes I feel so blessed and so fortunate and so lucky that I can barely stay in my skin. You know, I just feel like, oh my gosh. And then there's other times like, I want more.
And that's how you're supposed to feel.
That's how you're supposed to feel.
Well, I remember talking to Francine the other day, and she has her soulmate, Philippe.
Yeah.
And she knows that he's just her soulmate from all different lifetimes. And then she goes, you know, Christine Marie and Julie, it's just like you two. You know, you two are soulmates.
Yeah.
You know that, I don't know how this happened from all these different lifetimes, how it came together. She goes, because you're so much more than mother and daughter. And we're like, we know.
I guess. I know.
We don't get it either.
I know. But people say you should teach people how to be good mothers and daughters. And I'm like, I go, stop bitching. Stop complaining. Never put your relationship on the cutting block. And know that you guys are different people, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. Other than that, that's all we just
kind.
We just feel like we're just lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
We're blessed.
Exactly.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks. Thanksgiving for you.
And everyone go to ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com/offer. We want to say have a great year. Have a great
Let's talk more toward the end. We'll start getting everybody ready for 2017.
We're gonna do it,
girlfriend.
Yep. All right, everyone. We love you.
And
it was great.
It was great.